I just say, Lord, I belong to you. I belong to you, whatever's going on. Because really that living sacrifice, saying, Lord, I belong to you, is when Psalms 37, it says that he gives us the desires of our hearts. And I'm telling you what, those things, that desires that he puts in us, those desires were meant to be there before we were even born. And so when you say, God, I belong to you, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. My life belongs to you. When I'm going through struggles, I'm going, Lord, I can't deal with some of this. Lord, I belong to you. I'm a living sacrifice. You lead, you guide, you bring the victory, you bring the provision, you bring the healing in my life. And then in that, these desires come forth that he's given you. Lord, we thank you for that, God. We thank you that we're living sacrifices. Lord, we thank you for giving us the desires of our heart. And so we honor you and we bless you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated if you can, if you're willing. Amen. You know, sometimes you could be worshiping him, and that's the thing, I was just worshiping. And then you can stump. You ever think about some of the struggles that you have in life? Anybody ever have those struggles? Whether it be your own battles, cares of this world. Anybody familiar with cares of this world? And just there worshiping, it just came upon me. You know, I was thinking, Lord, I give it to you. Cast your cares upon him. Amen, because he cares for us. Casting our cares upon him. And tonight for me, casting my cares on and say, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. I belong to you. You know, when you're worshiping, I'm learning too, is worshiping and praising him, you become vulnerable. Sometimes we can have these guards up and things in our lives, and we don't even know it. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit reveals those things. The Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus, is so faithful. Like these things, like an onion, he just peels layers upon layers. And he'll show us things and say, man, I didn't even know that was there, Lord. He's so faithful, isn't he? He's so faithful. Thinking that God will never hurt us, right? He'll never hurt us. No, on the contrary, he's a God that heals. He's a God that delivers. He's faithful. Amen. He is faithful and true. So I love this time. We have a time, if you come on Wednesday. Hey, on Wednesdays is a time we can let our hair down, so to speak. Amen. And we can worship him and praise him. And, you know, when I love praising him with that loud voice. I know in my heart, when I give a shout, I know that the enemy does not like that. That quakes him. He hates it. He loves it when I'm with him and I pray in the Spirit. There's a time to pray in the Spirit together. I've come to know, man, that when I give some volume, the enemy hates it. He loves when our worship and our praise and all our prayers just a whisper. A whisper. But a shout. A shout of worshiping him. A shout of saying, hallelujah, and worshiping him. I'm telling you, it has an effect in the spiritual realm. I can't see it, but I can detect it. Seeing those things that are not, you know, I can see those things. All the things that we can see are temporal. All the things that we can't see are eternal. Amen? So I say that to encourage you, even on Wednesday night, let's shout, let's worship. It's not insanity, but it drives the enemy insane. I said it's not insanity. The world thinks it's insanity, but it will drive the enemy insane. He loves to hear, he loves to hear just whispering. And there's a time for that, right? There's a time. Let me get this out. One of the things I appreciate, one of the first things I remember about Pastor Lee that dawned on me when we started coming, because I hadn't heard it before. But when me and my wife were coming to this church and I was so heavy laden, and he says, man, get your elbows above your ears. And I began to learn how to worship by faith. I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like worthy. I feel like I was still in the middle of a lot of struggles. As I started learning to worship him in the middle of my struggles, regardless of what was being, what was I was telling myself or the enemy was telling me, it began to break those things off. Begin to break. So that was one of those first things I remember from our founding pastor learning here is, hey, you belong to him. You're a child of a God, of God. He's designed you to be free. He has designed us and made us to walk in freedom. And the first thing you got to realize is that is I am free in Christ. And you begin to worship him even in the middle of everything. Begin to worship him and honor him and praise him. And even on the days that you fail, you keep honoring him and worshiping and praising him. Amen? That's very important. Hallelujah. John session 49. If I had a title on this, it's in chapter 6 of John, and we go through this in the New American Standard Bible version. But we have all the scriptures up here. But if you're following along in your own Bible, paper, or electronic device, we're in John chapter 6, session 49. If I had a title to this tonight, it would be something like, it's all in the numbers. It's all in the numbers. So have you heard that saying, if you're buying something, isn't it all about the numbers? We're going to read a little bit here because we're going to see that God is into numbers. Man, he's in the numbers. And so John chapter 6, verse 8 through 13, we're gonna read, and then we're going to talk about some numbers and then also about food. Hallelujah. So one of his disciples, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures I've already read last week. It said, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here that's talking to Jesus. Remember, we talked about last week, he said, hey, we want to feed these folks. And Philip said, that's just not possible. Not with what we have here, but one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, verse 9, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, and it's funny how Jesus didn't even start dialoguing about what was said there. He just said, then Jesus said, make the people sit down, remember, because now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. So we talked about last week about lying down in green pastures, right? Yeah. You know, nothing is in the Word of God, I believe, that doesn't have meaning. There's a lad here. We could have, John could have just said, here's a lad here with some barley loaves and some fish. A little bit. He could have said, there's just a little bit. Or he could have said, he has a few barley loaves and a couple of fish or a few fish. But with these numbers, just mind you, as we began to go through this, he was very specific. He had how many barley loaves? He had 5 barley loaves. And he had 2 small fish. Just 2 small fish. And they said, sit him down. There's much grass in that place. So the men sat down, and the number about 5,000. So we know we've talked about this. He had 5,000 men. Now we had people, there was all these people. Remember we talked about it? It was getting ready. They were headed to Jerusalem for the Passover. So you had all these people traveling who probably just had enough food to get to Jerusalem, because when in Jerusalem they're going to be celebrating, what, the Passover, right? So they probably would be buying their food and the lamb, right? The lamb or whatever they're going to be eating for meat and the bread, the unleavened bread and all the other things that are part of that. So good chance that they were going to get that when they got to Jerusalem. I was reading something about, you know, at that time about 50,000. I don't know how they know, but historians say that at that time about 50,000 people lived in Jerusalem. But during the Passover, up to another 150,000 people would come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And so that there was 5,000 men here, they said, but there was also women and children besides that. So there could very well be 15,000 people here, even a little bit more. So we could be looking at 15,000 people. And then Jesus took the loaves. And after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were reclining. Likewise, also the fish. So So as much as they wanted, so everybody ate as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be lost. So they gathered them up and filled filled 12 baskets with pieces from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. So they don't say anything about the about fish being left over, but they said how many there was, how many baskets? 12 baskets. You know, numbers have significant meaning in the Bible, so I'm just going to go through a few things right now. Is that okay? So we know we had, then we'll talk about the fish and the loaves. So we know that there was 2 fish. And so the 2 in the Hebrew, all these numbers had significant meaning. Oh, you know they did. Remember, I know I mentioned it later, but I'll mention it now. Do you remember when they crossed over the Jordan and then they were going to walk around Jericho? So for 6 days, they walked around Jericho, what, one time? But on that 7th day, right, he says, walk around Jericho how many times? 7 times. Specific numbers. So God is always about specific numbers. So what is number? Number 2 has got some good meanings and some meanings that aren't so good. And we'll talk about that as well. The number 2 means to divide, difference, oppose, judge, discern, witness, conflict. But it also means blessing, abundance, building. It means couple, dying to self. This is all in the Hebrew. It also related to the Hebrew word shanana, meaning change. Ideally, 2 should mirror 1 is what it was saying. As in the 2 shall become 1 flesh, thus making a true pair. That works together like one's ears. You got a pair of ears, right? You got 2 eyes. You got how many nostrils, most of you? 2. How many hands you have and feet? Aren't you glad you're not a cyclop and don't have just 1 big eye in the middle of your head? So God give us pairs. So 2 is you know, can you see better with 2 eyes or 1 eye? 2 eyes. So it's talking about a blessing that if you didn't have that 1 eye, you can see, but it can be more difficult, right? If you're to cover that, it becomes more of a struggle. So the number 2 has got some good meanings and benefits, but we're going to see that it also has some things that aren't so beneficial. So on the negative side, the number 2 means to division and divide. You know, the gospel multiplies people unto himself, Jesus, but it can also divide people. You ever given your life to Jesus or had friendships that when you said, I stand for the gospel, those friends said, I can't travel with you. I can't travel this road of life with you. I can't hang with you. I don't agree with the way you think. And so those 2 become divided. Amen? So sometimes that division, it can divide things. Things aren't together. It doesn't work together. Matthew 24, 39 through 42, I want to talk about this and talking about division. And did not, Matthew 24 says, and did not know until the flood came, talking about Noah, and took them all away. And so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. We're talking about when Jesus comes. We're talking about this division thing. Then 2 men will be in the field. You've heard this scripture, haven't you? And one will be taken and the other left. Well, why is it that one will be taken and the other left? One was walking with the Lord, waiting for the Lord, and the other one was not. That's the division I was talking about. So this is what Jesus said. 2 will be in the field, will be working, and 1 will be left. That'll be the second coming of Jesus. Amen. It says, we'll all be caught up in the air and to ever be with the Lord. Or it could be talking about when he comes, right? If you're pre-trib, a tribulation, or a rapture, we're caught up together to be with the Lord. Amen. Does that make sense? Yes. 2 women will be grinding at the mill. 1 will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Amen. We want to bring people with us, don't we? But the fact is the number 2, and we're talking about this, and we'll see about fish. Fish also representing the souls of men. Some are come to the Lord and some others do not. But you could be working in an office with a lot of people living for the Lord. There'll be those that'll be there that are for the Lord, and there'll be those that'll be divided, a division against you because they are opposed to the gospel. So the number two being division. How about the number five? Can I talk about the number five? I know many of you know the number five symbolizes God's grace. So that two, you know, five is more of a number of grace. Two meaning division, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, though. The number five symbolizes God's grace. Wow. Five loaves of bread. Jesus said, I am the what? The bread of life. Amen. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, though, right? But by every word, that word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, God being our daily bread. The number five symbolizes God's grace, hallelujah, goodness, amen, and favor towards mankind. Amen. Who's here so thankful for his grace and his goodness and his favor towards you? Hallelujah. It is mentioned 318 times in Scripture, the number five. Five is the number of grace, and multiplied by itself, which is 25, means grace upon grace. Hallelujah. Grace upon grace. Amen. Amen. The Ten Commandments contain two sets of five commandments. The first five commandments are related to our treatment and relationship with God, with the remaining one concerned with our relationship with other human beings, with mankind. The number 12, let's go to the number 12. So they have five loaves of bread, and they pick up 12 baskets of bread. You know, once again, they could have said, hey, you know, he picked up many baskets. Well, there was a lot of baskets. John wrote down the exact amount of baskets. 12 can be found in the Bible 187 times. Revelation alone has 22 occurrences of that number 12. The meaning of 12, which is considered a perfect number, is what it symbolizes God's power and authority, as well as serving as a perfect governmental foundation. It can also symbolize completeness or the nation of Israel as a whole. And for example, Jacob, whose name was changed to what, Israel, had how many sons? 12 sons, each of which represented a tribe begun by those 12 sons total. Ishmael, by the way, Ishmael, who was born to Abraham through Hagar, also had 12 sons. We don't read much about Hagar, but you remember when Hagar was sent away, right? Because was sent away by, who sent her away? Abraham, Sarah sent her away, remember? But then, remember the angel or God came to her and said, hey, I'm going to bless you as well. I'm going to bless you well. Did you know that represents you and I today? Unless you're Jewish here. I don't know how many are Jewish. I don't think there's any of us Jewish here. So really, we represent that Ishmael, a man of being blessed, also being become part of the seed of Jacob later on, amen, by faith. So God specified that 12 unleavened cakes of bread be placed every week in the temple, by the way, with frankincense next to each of the two piles that were to be made. The priests were commanded to change their bread every Sabbath day. Leviticus 24. So how many of those unleavened cakes of bread? 12. Christ called 12 men to bear witness to what he did and to spread the good news, amen, of the gospel to the entire world. After he was raised from the dead, Jesus told the 11 disciples, Judas has hung himself, that God had given him all power and authority on earth and in heaven, God's divine authority. You know what's interesting? We had 12 apostles, right? And we're going to read here in just a second. And then we know what happened to Judas. And then he was down to 11. You think God would be, okay, well, we're going to go forward with the 11. But did you know God did not go forward with just the 11? You know that Acts 1:23-26? Acts 1:23-26. So this is when they put cast lots for men. This is at the beginning of the book of Acts. So they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Yes, Lord, who know the hearts of all people, show which one of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. and they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Wasn't that amazing that he says, hey, we got to add to that 12? Going back to that bread, the bread of life, God gathering, starting out with those 5 loaves. Did you know that? Let me just say this of these 12 ads. You know, when walking with Jesus, God has as much, when I say bread, as much revelation of Christ Jesus that you want. Every day, whether every minute that you're with him, every minute you can be praying in your car, you can be praying at home, whatever you are, you could be reading the word, but God has as much revelation for you as you want. There's never a lack of bread with God. There's never a lack of wisdom with God. Man, there's so much. There's gathered up 12 baskets full of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. I said, Jesus is the bread of life. 12 perfect baskets. Everything we need pertaining to life is found in the Word of God. Did you know this is bread, daily bread? Has anybody found that out yet? That everything pertaining to life is found right here. Everything by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Word of God is not lacking in any way, shape, or form. I found that it's brought comfort in every area of my life, wisdom. It reveals his character. It reveals his provision. It reveals his love. It reveals his perfect peace. It reveals his strength. Amen, amen, and amen. Let me just continue on a little bit more about the number 12, can I? 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. We know that in talking about in the book of back in Revelation. 144,000 total receive salvation during the end times great tribulation, Revelation 7. A set of 144,000 means 12,000, 12 times 12,000. Christ's bride in Revelation 12, the church wears a crown containing 12 stars. The new Jerusalem, which is made in heaven and brought to the earth by God himself, contains 12 gates made of a single pearl each. Isn't that amazing? Over each gate will be one of the names of Israel's 12 tribes. The walls are 144 cubits high, 12 multiplied by itself, Revelation 21 and 16. That's 12 multiplied by itself. And it says that in Revelation 21, 16, and 17, with the city itself being 12,000 furlongs square. Wow. So God's perfect number is 12. God had the Israelites march around the Jericho, remember, 7 times? Say, Chad, you've talked a lot about those numbers. What do you mean? Well, we're going to get back to that in just a minute. How about fish? So he said it was fish. Let me see the fish, Matthew 4, 18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter. You've heard of him before? And Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. You know, that fish representing men. And in the number 2, representing the division, there'll be those who will come to the Lord, and there will be those that will reject the Lord. Aren't you glad that you have accepted the Lord? How about a little bit more about fish? Let's go to the Old Testament, talking a little bit about fish, talking about you and I in this an example. Ezekiel 47, 9 and 10. Anybody ever read the book of Ezekiel here? And it shall be that every living thing that moves, this is talking about this river that came out of the temple of God in this vision that Ezekiel had. And it just trickled out. And then if something trickled out, it would eventually dry up. But in this case, this river came out kind of trickling out of the temple of God. And as it began to go and get further away from the temple, it grew. It actually grew in size. It actually grew in size. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river go will live. Amen. The river of God is the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God in this day and age that we live in. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what we're talking about is the power. The Holy Spirit is that river. Hallelujah. It's talking about you and I. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, amen, will live. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I live. It can be dry spiritually all around me. People could be struggling, but I can have a river right where I'm at. Amen and amen. It says there will be a very great multitude of fish. And that multitude of fish, I'm telling you, are believers, you and I. Jesus said to Peter, I will make you fishers of men in this river. And this river of life is the Holy Spirit. And there'll be those that'll jump in the river of the Holy Spirit, live in the Holy Spirit. And there'll be others, as we'll see, that will stay in dry areas. How about you? I'm glad that I don't stay in dry areas. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed. Hallelujah! Did you hear that? And everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi and En-Galeim. They will be places for spreading their nets, those catching fish into the kingdom. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. If you were to read and continue this out, it talks about an area that didn't have life. They didn't have any of the river. Amen. I don't know about you, but I lived long enough in the desert. Have you heard about remember when Jesus cast out the legion from that man in the demoniac? And you remember it went right into those swine. Is it called swine in the King James? Pigs. And then it says those pigs were driven down to the water and drowned. And you read that and you think, God, you know, that the devil drove those into the water. But you've seen before where Jesus says when a devil comes out of a person, it goes into dry areas. And it gets seven more like itself, and it comes back and tries to say, let's get back in this person. Let's control this person's life. And then the end result is worse than the beginning result of that individual, right? But you know, I think it was God that drove those swine into the water, because the enemy hates water. It hates life. It loves dryness. It says when the devil comes out, it goes into dry areas. I think all those devils went into that swine, and God says, let's take you into the water, because it's just a sign and proof of what Jesus Christ would do about the river of life, about the Holy Spirit, about him saying, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The enemy lives in dry areas. So they went into those swine. All of a sudden, they're like, what's happening here? We're being driven by angels. They're driving these swine into the water. And then he says, oh, we don't like this at all. Let's get out of here. the demonic, the harassment of the enemy hates the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we learn to just yield to him and love him, as we learn about God's love for us, as we allow him to continue to reveal his goodness and his love, that river begins to flow out of us more and more and more and more, and the enemy is driven further and further and further away from every area of our lives. That's why I know when I speak in tongues, for me, that's a river. For me, that's a river. That's a part of for the Holy Spirit speak into my life is the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, speaking in tongues, I've learned is amazing. I've learned that sometimes I'll be speaking in tongues as you do it more and more and more. Speaking in tongues, there'll be times where I'll be speaking in tongues, and I know then that the Lord is getting ready to like download a little information to me. It could be one or two sentences. He'll speak to me. I'm telling you, the speaking in tongues is powerful. I'm telling you, it is powerful. It is a powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. It says, pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Praying in the Holy Spirit, practicing that gift, I'm telling you, it does miraculous things in our lives. Amen. The river of life. How about that barley bread? 5 barley loaves, right? So we talked about the fish. How about barley bread? Because it said it was barley bread. I was thinking about this. Remember Gideon? You guys heard of Gideon? Okay, in the Old Testament. And so Gideon, God had, he was getting ready to, with those 300 soldiers, to take on, I don't know if it's over, well over 100,000 soldiers. So he's got those 300, and the Lord keeps proving himself to Gideon. And he says, if you want to know what's going to happen, go down and sneak down by the camp. So this is like the day before God gave the victory to Gideon and his 300 men. He said he went down there, says, and when Gideon had come, there was a man, we're talking about down at the camp of the enemy, there was a man telling a dream to his companion, and he said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, this is the enemy, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of the Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, and to his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And what came down tumbling into, it was that barley bread. So when we see those things, when God tells us, when we see these things, these numbers, 2 fish, 5 loaves of barley bread, picking up 12. There's meanings for all of these things spiritually. Amen. For you and I in the new covenant, that barley bread going into that camp represent Jesus Christ destroying the work of the enemy in yours and my life completely, 100%, no matter what the odds look like, no matter what's going on, no matter how you feel, no matter how you're struggling. If you'll trust him, that barley bread is Jesus Christ himself, and it tumbled into the camp, and the guy that interpreted it didn't even know the Lord, said that is nothing else than Gideon bringing victory with 300 simple men. Over 100,000 men being wiped out by God himself with 300 men. Man, the barley bread, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the power of God is victorious in our lives. Amen, brother. No matter what it looks like, no matter what you're facing, think of situations in your life. Begin to trust him. God is faithful. Over and over again, he showed Gideon. Gideon says, man, I don't know what's going to happen. He says, here's this fleece here. Tomorrow morning, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. Okay, God, thank you. Now to the next night, he says, Lord, let the ground be wet and let that fleece be dry. God being faithful over and over and over and kind with Gideon. And then when it came down to the night before, God says, hey, I know I showed myself to you. I've showed you over and over and over again that I'm with you. But if you want one more thing, he's saying to Gideon, I'm going to show you one more thing, because Gideon, what I'm showing you is not just for you. It's for generations to come. At the end of ages, that barley loaf, tumbling in there, is a representation of our victory in Jesus Christ over every enemy that would come against us in our lives if we will simply believe, no matter what the odds look like. The odds look so against Gideon, 300 men. God did that because he says, man, I can't have anybody taking the victory here, claiming that it was their own strength. You and I are not going to have any victory in any area of our lives in our own strengths. It's going to trusting Jesus, who's going to come in like a big loaf of barley bread, taking over, knocking over the tent of the enemy, and the victory belongs to you and I. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for this barley loaf that you gave to these 15,000 people. Lord, we can look at that and say, Lord, what's that mean? And then God will show you. If you want to see it, he'll show you. If you want to dig it out, He will show you. But tonight, Lord, we thank you for showing all of us victory in every area. Father, we declare, I don't know about you, but I declare victory over every area of my life, over every area of my family's life. I declare that right now in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Father, for victories over every odds, no matter the odds, Lord. If we'll trust you, we are victorious in you. We're victorious in you. We claim that, speak that over our lives tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for showing us revelation, Lord. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the revelation of the Word of God. We thank you for things that you wrote for us 3,000 years ago, right here tonight, Lord, showing us that we are victorious in you no matter what's going on, Lord. We trust you, Father God, just like Gideon, Father God. We just like Gideon, who was the weakest of his family, Lord, who was hiding in a wine press. And an angel says, oh, valiant warrior. And he says, who, me? Who, me? Whose dad was a worshiper of the Baals? Who looked like he had no, the odds were against him in every way, shape, or form. From the family he was from his parents that he was raised by him hiding in the wine press, all of that. And then God takes him down and says, here's 300 men taking on over 100,000. Father, we thank you for the revelation of what that barley bread means. We are more than conquerors. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for our victory in our lives. Father, we just stop right there. We just thank you, Lord. We just yield to you. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Father God, for revelation after revelation of who you are. Thank you, Father, for just like Gideon, you encourage us over and over and over again. If we'll allow you to, Lord, you wanted to encourage us over and over and over and over again, even as Gideon dared to test you and say, Lord, you got to show me that you're with me. He was saying, Lord, show me, Father. Even in our hearts, we say, Lord, thank you for showing us, from encouraging us from different time points in our life or through the week or whatever, Lord. If we'll allow you, Lord, you'll continue to encourage us and show us, Father God. You show up upon the behalf of the weak, Father God. You show up on the behalf, Lord, of those that are weak. So we thank you for that tonight. Lord, we're living sacrifices that belong to you. We yield to you. We say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We honor you. Lord, thank you for strengthening us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father.